Please be seated. We were just talking in our hermeneutics course about communication's not always perfect. And Avery and I did not have perfect communication. So therefore, take out your pencil or pen, because I'm going to give you a Latin phrase in honor of Dr. Smith, but somehow it didn't get into the bulletin. Okay, you ready? You ready to write? Because this is going to come up later. You need to write this down. Okay. The first word is, using ecclesiastical Latin as opposed, suaviter, S-U-A-V-I-T-E-R, suaviter, write it down, I'm saying write it down, it's going to come up, in, modo, M-O-D-O, comma, and then the word fort, F-O-R-T-I-T-E-R, fortiter, I-N, in, and then R-E, re. Suaviter in modo, fortiter in re. We'll come back to that lesson, and there'll be a quiz following. Okay. Our triune God is so great, it's worth having conversations with those who disagree with us. Uncomfortable conversations. Or those who simply couldn't care less about what we think. But because we think God is so great, and he's told us to do it, we are to have conversations with those who disagree with us. Now, on the other hand, as our text is going to point out, sometimes their question is so silly, we ought not to answer, as we're going to see. And 2 Timothy, if you want to take your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at 22 to 26, is going to give us some tips on several scenarios that we have. And yes, at the end of the sermon, I'll explain the Latin that you wrote down on your bulletin. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 22 to 26. And I'll be especially interested in the beginning of verse 25. Hear the written word of God. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they only breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, aid us in knowing when not to answer, and especially aid us to answer and to correct, but with gentleness. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll work through the passage, and then we'll come back especially to the beginning of 25. Okay, verse 22. Flee youthful passions, but on the contrary, pursue righteous faith, love, and peace. The youthful passions, he doesn't give much of a context. Best guess is the youthful passion of flying off the handle and arguing in quarrels. Something to that effect is most likely what he's talking about. The second half of the verse, pursue, and he gives four virtues there. Three of the four are part of the Galatians 5 list of nine. And we'll see another virtue coming up. And then he says in the second part of the verse, along with, meaning pursue these virtues, these four here, along with all other believers who call on the name of the Lord. Now, interestingly, notice how he defines a believer. One who calls on the name of the Lord from a pure heart. And that calls on the name of the Lord is echoing from Joel, which then comes into Romans, 1 Corinthians has these. What is a Christian? He who calls on the name of the Lord. And to call on the name of the Lord implies, I need help. Properly understood, I'm a sinner. I need to repent. Also implied on calling on the name of the Lord is he will answer graciously to you. We'll look at the repentance in a second, down in the second half of 25 into 26. Okay, 23 and beginning of 24. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. So state the obvious. He's talking to Timothy. Timothy's a minister of the word. They should avoid quarrels. And he says a very similar thing over in Titus, using a lot of the exact same words, reading here. Avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law. They are unprofitable and worthless. So verse 22 into 23 says, don't get into these quarrels. But as he's going to say a little later, oh, but there's other situations where you got to correct the opponent. But the section in 23 have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. Would remind us of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 6. Don't cast your pearls before swine. There are certain scenarios where you don't answer the fool. And then that would remind you of Proverbs. Why don't we turn there? A famous section of Proverbs 26. Good verses to have memorized. 26, 4, and 5. They're interesting for a bunch of reasons. But they match our text here. So Proverbs 26, 4, and 5. And he's going to say X. Then he's going to say not X. And that's what makes these interesting. Okay, verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly. Do not answer a fool, lest you be like him yourself. You get drawn into this dumb, silly question he has. Don't do it. Don't throw your pearls before the swine. Don't answer. Next verse. Answer a fool according to his folly. And now it'll give a different logic. Lest be wise in his own eyes. Sometimes you need to show the mistake of his ways so that he will get to the correct answer. So sometimes you answer a fool according to his folly. Sometimes you don't answer a fool according to his folly. Our verse 22 and 23 is the not answer here. We'll get to the answer in a second. Assume someone comes to you and says, the writer of Revelation was on psychedelic mushrooms when he wrote that, and I can prove it. What are you going to say? Well, give me your argument. Give me your 12-point argument. Let me look up psychedelic mushrooms. Did they exist in Ephesus? Blah, 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 blah. Or you could just say, no. I'm not throwing any pearls to you. Now, wisdom, of course, going to figure out, Jesus had 12 apostles. They were really his 12 kids, but the church turned it into, you got just these wacko arguments. Maybe even a little more serious. Someone has this craziest kind of question, and you're assuming they probably have a bad motive, really, to ask it, but... are they like so invested in this? They have a high level of importance, at least in their own mind, what they're doing. This is just a low level issue, especially if it's about Jesus, that's a little different. But, some little technicality question, like a genealogy of this or that. It's a low level issue. They're so invested in it. Sometimes you're just like, they need to calm down here. And the best thing is just not to answer. And you can think of different scenarios, when you should answer, when you shouldn't. I just have to say one word, social media. Well, that's two words. Social media. If you feel the need to answer everything on social media, you are not taking this verse into account. Okay, now the other side of the coin, 24 and 25. Okay, it says at the end of 3, that these things breed quarrels. And of course, but 24, but the Lord's servant, and he's going to give four statements about the minister of the word, must not be quarrelsome. Now, sometimes you're not quarrelsome, but they are. Okay, you can't help that. Kind to everyone, able to teach, okay, he's a minister of the word, patiently enduring evil, think of all the suffering passages, and then what we'll be interested in, correcting his opponents with gentleness. And then it goes on, the correcting those opponents, what about those opponents? God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by the devil to do the devil's will. So he has here 4 points, and then the fifth, the final one is correct sort of the bad guys. First, let me say something about the repentance. One reason to correct the bad guys, which can be prevent them from influencing other people, but here it's themselves. God may change them. Interestingly, verse 22, talking about believers, it was human agency, call on the Lord. Verse 25, divine agency. God gives them repentance. And there's a whole bunch of Reformed creeds when it talks about the gift of repentance, footnotes this verse right there. God gives the gift of repentance. Okay, for the rest of the sermon, let's look at the beginning of 25. Correcting his opponents with gentleness. Correcting with gentleness. Note, first of all, the prepositional phrase, and if you take out your bulletin, it's actually written there. Under, if you see the Greek there, in praeutete, paiduntas, okay, it's a participle. But the phrase with, and then that praeutete, is the word gentleness. That's one of the 9 virtues. It's the 8th one in your Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Notice also, even though it's not in your English this way, the with gentleness is thrown to the beginning of the sentence. That's not normally where you put it, so there's an emphasis. With gentleness. Also notice the verb, although technically a participle, paiduo. Now there's paideia. Paiduo is a broad word, training, correcting, disciplining, teaching. And when in context, the bad guy is the next thing, then correcting is a good translation. Correcting your opponents. If you run over to chapter 3, verse 16, the famous all scripture for 4 things. The final one, training, that's the noun version of this verb. Training in righteousness. Okay. Yes, the Bible includes righteous anger. Yes, there are, as I call them, yell at passages in the Bible. Galatians 1, anathema, go to hell. Philippians 3, the dogs, calls them dogs. And a whole bunch of other yell-at passages. Yell-at passages or two in the pastoral epistles. Yes, they're in the Bible. Yes, there's church discipline in the Bible. But as a general rule, the minister, and by implication everyone else as a believer, should correct with gentleness. What a great line there. Correct with gentleness. Now here, notice he's speaking to people. Now maybe they're in the church, but they're not true believers. They're captured by the devil. And to at least confront them, conceptually at least, it would remind you maybe of Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Now there in context, it's to believers and implies also to non-believers. So that's a little more famous of a verse, speaking the truth in love, but here, correcting with gentleness. Yes, it may be uncomfortable confronting someone or giving them the gospel. Okay, so if I'm now speaking to those that feel uncomfortable. Some of you have got to slow you down a little bit. You like the argument too much, but I'm a little nervous about it. And some people, they get nervous, even though they may be gentle truly inside, but they're nervous and they can come across a little mean because they're not smiling, because they're nervous, something like that. But remember, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Bible. You have the whole Christian tradition to help you on this, whatever this issue is. You have an RTS education. And remember, by God's grace, the Holy Spirit who's in you may change them. Our verse there about the repentance. God may give them repentance. Even if you don't, your explanation is not as great as it could have been. Maybe you weren't as gentle as you could have been. But in the end, you're trusting, confronting this person on a fairly serious issue, that God will grant repentance. Now, it's still going to be human repentance, but it's God that gives it. Therefore, we want to be gentle in our manner, but firm on we need to talk about this issue. Especially if someone in your church that's not believing anything, or someone brings up an issue. You love them enough to be firm on the issue, but gentle in the manner that you do it. Now that brings us to our Latin phrase that you should have written down. I'll try and explain the Latin phrase. Oh, I should let Dr. Smith explain the Latin phrase. But, okay, so the first word there, S-U-A-V-I-T-R, suaviter. The word suave, Latin to French to English, suave, a pleasant guy. He's suave. The word sweet actually comes from that. So sometimes it's translated sweetly, and the iter ending, I-T-E-R, is the L adverb and L-Y. So sweetly, pleasantly, in modo, in manner, mode, sweetly, suaviter, in mode, modo. That's the first half of the Latin phrase. The second half, fortiter, fort, fortitude, a actual fort, Latin to French to English, strength. In, now normally in Latin that would be R-E-S, but it's the ablative, so it's R-E, in the thing, in the issue, in the substance. So suave in manner, I'm a tough fort in the issue. I'm not going to back away from the issue. Suave in manner, modo, fortitude in re. Now, why in the world am I bringing up this dumb Latin phrase? Because I read George Knight's commentary on the pastorals. You know who George Knight was? A great professor at Covenant Seminary and one or two other places. Dr. Belcher had George Knight. And I was reading his commentary in this section. And he talks about verse 25, correcting with gentleness. And with no context, he just quotes that Latin phrase like you're supposed to know it. And my Latin, you know, is this much. And I could sort of figure it out. I looked up. I got my Latin dictionary out just to double check myself. Wasn't sure of the ablative. And I'm like, where in the world? And it hits me. Ooh, that's in Van Til. I got really interested then. So I start. That's all. Okay. I'll get to Van Til in a second. So I looked, you know, I run to, being a scholar, I run to the internet and put in the Latin, and it pops up that the first known full quote of that Latin is a guy, Claudio Acquaviva, the living water is his name, Claudio, who was the leader of the Jesuit, he was a Jesuit, a Roman Catholic priest, and in a book in 1600, 1600, this quote is in there, and in the context, he's telling basically missionaries, be firm on the gospel, the substance, the res, R-E, the re, but gentle in the manner, suave in the manner. Okay, I didn't know that. Now, the next thing I didn't know, Dwight D. Eisenhower, for you youngsters, he's a former president and was two terms, and supreme commander of something. Allied in Europe, right? The whole thing. Okay, super. Thank you, Mr. former history history teacher. He had, you know, we think of a nameplate on your desk. He didn't have a nameplate saying Dwight D. Eisenhower. He had this the whole Latin phrase on his nameplate. And you go on the internet, and they got pictures of it. And in fact, you can go on the internet and purchase a facsimile of the actual nameplate. I almost did it, but it wasn't Van Til, so. And this was his view of diplomacy. His view of diplomacy was, I'm not backing down, but I'm going to be gentle. As president, I assume that was in his head as president, and then I assume it was when he was the supreme Allied commander. I get that right? But the real reason I recognized it, I knew this was in Van Til in some places. So being the scholar I was, I emailed Dr. Anderson. I did have one spot I knew where it was. And in that one spot, Van Til only quotes the first half. Suaviter in, you know, pleasant in manner, however you want to say it. Now, in the sentence, the second half of the sentence is really the fortiter in res. He's talking about, you need to confront the non-Christian. Okay, that's the fort, be strong, you need to confront them. And then he goes, but! And he just says, suaviter in modo, like you're supposed to know what that means. And then with a little work, I found one other place, and then Dr. Anderson showed me a bunch of other places. Now, we were both surprised that he never gives the full quote. He only gives the suaviter in modo. But in all this Van Til stuff by other people that talk about Van Til, they always quote the full thing. And our guess is that maybe in class he gave the full thing, just happened to be in his writings. He only says the suaviter in modo, the pleasantness, suave in manner. If you happen to know Reformed Forum, and at least I have one book from them, there's a seal on the book, and in the middle of the seal it has CVT, Cornelius Van Til, and then it's got the full Latin quote around it. Any event, okay. Now at RTS, we don't use that Latin phrase, we just say winsomely reformed. Again, there's righteous anger in the Bible. There's, you know, serious issues. There's, you know, church discipline. But as a general rule, we want you to be reformed, but winsome about it. There's Dr. Pratt says, I'm reformed, but not mad about it. Especially interacting with our Bible-believing buddies. You know, Paul says in English, correct with gentleness, or the Greek, you can look at the Greek yourself there, in gentleness, praueit, correcting. Now, I made this sermon about 2 weeks ago before the recent events of last week, you know, I'm not on social media, so I don't, I knew who Charlie Kirk was. Maybe I saw five little clips of him. I think I actually saw him on Fox News one time as an interview person. So I hardly knew him at all. My son knew a lot about him. And, you know, they at least say on Fox News that he exhibited this. And then once it all kind of came out, and I knew he was a Christian, I didn't realize at least what they're saying. He's pretty serious Christian. I was hoping someone might actually use one of these verses from the Bible, you know. Giving the truth in love, correcting with gentleness. Well, no one did, but and no one quoted the Latin. but fair enough. Maybe they didn't. I just didn't see it. That's possible. But look in your Bible, 2 Timothy 2:25. Doesn't cover every situation. Some situations, you don't even answer the person. Some situations, there are righteous anger. But most situations, it covers. With gentleness, correcting your opponents. I'm assuming most people here, that is your tendency. You've been changed by God, that is your tendency. Let's thank God that the Holy Spirit has changed most of you in most proper situations. You do that. That's a praise of God. And may we continue to correct our opponents because we love God, love them, and may we do it with gentleness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we think of all the situations that the Lord Jesus Christ interacted, and some were with righteous anger. But the vast majority of time is gentleness. What a grand example for us. Continue to change us. Continue to have us confidence when we feel nervous. Continue to make us humble when we do have maybe too much confidence. Have us correct our opponents with gentleness. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.